I want to read from the King James Version the last three verses of that passage, verses 15, 16, and 17 of Colossians. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Shall we pray? That we thank you, Lord, for all that's gone before in this service, and we pray now that you will center our thoughts in your word, and by your Spirit, speak to each of us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Here in this third chapter of Colossians are found the foundation of our holiness, the crisis or the way into our holiness, and the process or ongoing of our holiness, which is really not our holiness, but God's holiness and Christ's holiness, which is imputed and imparted to us as we, by faith, meet conditions and receive it. In verses 1 through 4, we see the foundation for our personal holiness. Verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And the first and most essential step in the life of holiness is being risen with Christ. John Wesley, in all earnestness and with his brilliance and penetration of mind for the first 35 years of his life at least, thought that he must be justified by first being sanctified, that by letting God work in us and make us finally good enough, we could be good enough to be acceptable to God. And finally he saw and realized that he just had things reversed, and we're not good enough to be saved, but we're saved so that we can, by God's grace, let God work his goodness through us. Being risen means being justified from our sins. Being risen means being regenerated to a new quality of life. Being risen means being adopted into the family of God until we know we're accepted of him and we love the brethren. If you're not a child of God, then you're not a candidate for holiness. Holiness is the result or the outworking of the miracle of the new birth, and it's never the cause of it. Then the second most essential step, as far as we're concerned here, is found in the words translated, seek, set your affections. Second most essential step is our attitude of determining to follow Jesus. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And this morning, if you want enough religion to save you from the hot fires of hell, you want enough religion so that you can call yourself respectable, but you don't want to hear about Christ's plan for your life. You don't want to hear about responsibility and duty and the privileges of belonging fully to him. And don't be surprised if you're never filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we can't overestimate what that factor of determining to follow Jesus, no matter what it costs, to find out for ourselves what this business of being sanctified is really all about. Don't.
Don't take the word of the Church of the Nazarene for it. Don't think of it as some doctrine that we're dragging out. Just say to yourself, I'm going to find out. I'll set my affections on things above. I'll seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And when you've made up your mind that you want all that God has for you as a child of God, and you know you belong to Him, it doesn't take too long for us to break through, but it's a foundation that we must have this tremendous desire. I think again this morning of the testimony of our own Steve Neese, who testifies that he received the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit and sanctified when he was a student at Brown University during the war, World War II. And he'd heard about it and he believed in it and he'd heard others testify to it. And he had tried and he had sought, and yet he was conscious that he wasn't fully God's. And he said the only place he could find, he was there as a student for the government, paying his way through Brown, and they were kind of in barracks. The only place he could find was an old washroom. And he went in and barricaded the door and said, I'm not coming out if it's a day, if it's a week, until God has met my need and I'm filled with the Spirit. He was out within a half an hour because that determination God understood and God met. If ye are risen with Christ, then set your affections, make your determination, I will have all that God has for me. But the spiritual power to effect such cleansing and infilling that's necessary for such a life of holiness is not our own. And provision is made at the cross. We need to come to the cross and seek God's grace there at Calvary. Verse 3 says, ye are dead. That is provisionally. Everything's been taken care of. Your life is hid with Christ and God. I want to move along quickly. Verses 5 to 11 speak to me about the crisis of entering into the experience of holiness. Verse 5, Paul says, since you are potentially, provisionally dead, then get on with the job. Verse 5, put to death, realize, actualize the death. Put to death these things which are encumbering. The first and essential step into this glorious freedom of holiness, whether it comes slowly, whether it comes suddenly, is death. And death is always a crisis. We need to come to the cross for cleansing. By making a full surrender to the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit, saying, search me, O God. And then confessing honestly our unholiness, our uncleanness, our self-centeredness. When I preach this way, I hope I don't offend the people who are sensitive in their conscience, who have given themselves wholly to God, and it's not rebellion on their part, for we're sanctified by faith. But I have a feeling as we wait before God, He will reveal to us the difference between a supersensitive conscience and an area of our lives which is unsurrendered to God. As we name our uncleannesses, we are cleansed. And sometimes one particular area of stubbornness will stand for the whole thing. Isaiah in the 6th chapter said, woe is me, for I am undone, for I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My lips are unclean. His lips stood for him. His lips stood for the whole person. And the word from God came and said, your sin is cleansed. As we name those things where we have been holding out, it's possible to be partly sanctified. I don't know how to prove it doctrinally, but it's factually true. And what you give to God, He'll accept. But oh, what a tremendous difference when we have surrendered the last vestige of selfishness and self-centeredness. And that crisis is reached there in verse 11. Finally, Christ is all. and in all. Perhaps a brand new Christian can get away with saying, Jesus Christ is my Savior, and He's changed my life, and let it go at that. And maybe a babe in Christ can get away with saying, Jesus is the single most important thing in my life. But I want you to know this morning, God is not satisfied, and Christ is not satisfied, until we can say everything in my life that doesn't submit to the authority of Christ, that can't relate to Him, has to go, until we can say Jesus Christ is everything to me. You say you're preaching something for full-time pastors. You're preaching something for full... No, I'm preaching the norm for New Testament Christian faith. And you in your heart know if you've reached that place where you can say Christ is all and in all. And when you have, you've reached that crisis, and then you've arrived. Right? Wrong? I got that from Stephen Manley, that last part, I think. Didn't mean to. I'll give it back to him. But you haven't arrived. You've just begun. And the whole New Testament is geared up for people who have hurried through the preliminaries. And they've gotten on with the business of dying. And now they're alive. And Christ is everything to them. And the New Testament is geared up now for this life of living by the rule of peace. And I don't have time to develop that this morning. But beginning there with verse 12, it just tells us that we have a new understanding of brotherly love, kindness, forbearance, love, not a human sympathy that questions God, but a divine love that includes everyone. And then verse 15, we have a new rule of peace. Sanctified Christians are certainly not infallible, but they have a divine principle within that keeps them right in spirit even when they're wrong. Praise the Lord. Gives them grace to acknowledge when they're wrong, too, so they can back up. Sanctification gives you a good reverse gear. And then it's a new indwelling of the Word. Verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Until the end of the matter, finally, we begin to see verse 11, the crisis lived out in verse 17, until we can say, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, everything we do, we can do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I have to ask you this morning, but you have to answer, not me. Can you honestly say Christ is all to you? Have you experienced the glorious release that comes by dying to the warped and wicked pull of being ruled by self? Look at those first two verses of that passage. If you're risen with God, if you'll become a seeker, God will bring you in. Praise His name.